chapter 4, verse 1, let us fear. And here is one place where we can neglect this wonderful salvation that Jesus priced at such a great price. If someone pays a tremendous amount of money to get us a very expensive gift, and they come along to visit us later and find that you've just neglected it and it's somewhere thrown away in the corner, ignored and full of dust, they'd wonder, why in the world did I ever get this expensive gift for this person who doesn't seem to value it? And I feel it's like that sometimes, the way we have treated God's salvation. The salvation of Christ is so wide and so fantastic that I believe in our whole lifetime we will not plumb the depths of it. We will not be able to reach the extent of it. It's such a great salvation, and we have to fear. It says here, lest God, having given us a promise of entering into a very restful life, we come short of it. The theme in chapter 4 is of entering into God's rest, which was God's original purpose for Adam, that's mentioned here in verse 4. It says, in the seventh day, God rested on the seventh day from all his works. You know, I'm always amused by the way the writer writes something like this. Somewhere it is written, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. All of us know that's in Genesis chapter 1. But, you know, these writers of the scripture were not so particular about, showing that they know where in the Old Testament this verse is found or that verse is found. It's a good thing to know it for our own benefit. But they were more interested in experiencing it, not quoting it. It's good to know Bible references and to know Bible verses. We use scripture memory verses. That is for our benefit. But if I only know a reference or I can memorize a verse, that hasn't fulfilled 1% of the purpose of that verse. I must experience it. And there is a Sabbath that God ordained for Adam, which had a deep meaning. That's what it says here. And it says in the first verse, let us fear lest we don't enter into that rest. In Genesis chapter 1, we read that God made everything in the universe, and after he had completed everything, the last thing he made was the animals, and then when everything was ready, he made man and woman in the last part of the sixth day, towards the end of the sixth day, towards the end of that 24-hour period, Adam and then Eve. So what I get from there is God has prepared everything. He could have made Adam and Eve on the first day and said, well, just wait, let me make this beautiful world for you. No, he made everything. And when everything was ready, then he made Adam and Eve and says, I want you to enjoy this beautiful world. It's like a father who has made everything available for his children and says, okay, I've made everything, my sons and daughters. It's for you to enjoy. And before they went out to enjoy that in the Garden of Eden, the Lord said to him, but I want you to spend the first day of your created existence with me. And I don't want you to work. There's a lot of work to be done in the garden, but that can wait. All the work I have planned for you can wait. You must first fellowship with me. And I enjoy fellowship with you. I made you in my image, Adam and Eve. And I have a great longing. I didn't make any of these millions of angels in my image. I could not fellowship with them. But you I can fellowship because you've got my nature. I made you in my image. And so I want you to fellowship with me and enter into this rest, which I call a Sabbath rest. Then you can go out and work for 6 days in the garden. Now, in the law, which came much later after Adam had sinned, 2,500 years after Adam's sin, Moses gave a law saying, 6 days you shall work, and then you shall have a seventh day of rest. But God's plan for Adam in the beginning was, one day you rest with me and then go out and work for 6 days. That's amazing. God wanted Adam to see what a loving father he was. I mean, it's something like if you joined a very prestigious company for a job with a very high salary, and they told you, well, we first want you to take a 1 month vacation to start your work. 1 month vacation, and then come back and you can work for us. You'd say, wow, what a good company this is. But that's how God was treating Adam. I wonder whether he realized it. I don't want you to go and work first. I want you to rest and have fellowship with me and enjoy that. And then you'll have the strength to go out and work. That is the rest spoken of here. And he says here in the first verse, let us fear, lest we get so busy doing things for God and going here and going there and trying to do something, and we have not entered into that first day Sabbath rest. The Sabbath rest is not here the seventh day rest. It's the first day rest. The first day for Adam was rest. You know, our dear Seventh-day Adventist friends think it is the seventh day. Some of them are born again, but we love them, but they're wrong. Adam, it was not Adam's seventh day that was a Sabbath. We go back to the beginning. Adam's first day was a Sabbath. That's why we don't care for Saturday. It's the first day of the week that Jesus rose from the dead. That is the day we come together. There's a significance of our coming together on Sunday. It's symbolizing that God, Adam's first day was a day of rest. That was the Sabbath. And the meaning of that Sabbath, more than the actual day of the week, is the meaning of the Sabbath that is important for us. God wants us to enter into that rest and then serve him. And if we try to serve him without entering into that rest, that's the cause of all the problems we have, all the murmuring, all the complaining, all the grumbling, and more than that, the questions we have about, does God really love me? Is he always looking at me with a frown? Do some of you feel like that, that God is, because you're not perfect, God's looking at you with a frown all the time? He doesn't have a face, but there's a frown on his face looking at you. Well, I'm not so happy with you. It's almost, most believers, I think, live like this, that God's looking at them with a frown which says, really, I'm not very happy with you. You're a terrible disappointment with me, but I tolerate you. Okay, I'll bless you in some way. But to tell you honestly, I'm pretty fed up with the way you're living. I'm not very happy with you. Now, you know, so many believers live with that type of attitude. They haven't entered into God's rest at all, and they'll never get into God's rest, and they'll never be able to do anything useful for God until we first get this matter settled. Looking into God's face, looking into Jesus' face, and to be sure that he's smiling at me. Now, I'll tell you why I say that. For so many of my years of my Christian life, I myself felt that God had looked at me with a frown. But it all changed for me when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, not just once, but being continually filled with the Holly Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it says, comes inside and cries out, Dad! Romans 8:16, the word Abba in that verse, the New Testament, the English translation is Dad. Have you ever, now I can teach you, dear brothers and sisters, please look up and call God your father, or be more intimate and call him Dad. And you say, is that what I have to do? Okay, Dad. The whole thing's so artificial. But can you imagine the joy in your heart when your little baby one day spontaneously looks at you and says, Dad. He's not being taught to do that. It's just a spontaneous expression of affection and love and confidence that you are his father. Or he says, Mama. Imagine the joy in the mother's heart when a little baby says that for the first time. And every time he says that, it's not artificial, it's not forced, it's not what somebody has taught him, saying you must call him Dad, you must call him Mama. No. Dear brothers and sisters, that's what God wants from us, and only the Holy Spirit can produce that in you.